morning to you all, and I just want to say thank you to Pastor Love, and I also want to thank someone else who's very special, and that is my wife, Trina. She doesn't like to be pointed out, but I want to thank her for putting up with me. Because when Pastor was talking about me, I was sitting there like, ooh, uh-oh. Obviously, he didn't talk to Trina about that, but, you know, hey. But I want to thank the Lord for a loving wife who's stuck with me through thick and thin. And I also want to thank him for all my kids and grandkids. So I won't go through the laundry list of names. But with this, I want us to think about a little bit of what's going on. And as we get ready to start, I want to thank the musicians and ushers. Thank you very much. Today, there's been a lot of things going on in our world. There's been a lot of tragedy going on. There have been some things that would make people get discouraged. And when you think about what's going on, just know that we have a God who cares about what's happening. And a lot of times we want to have a feeling of security, a feeling of assurance that everything is going to be all right. And many times, even when we were in our, what I call BC days, before Christ, we wanted to have some kind of assurance. So the passage of scripture I would like to take everyone to is in the Old Testament. And it is coming from Psalms 130. And if you all can stand at the reading of the Lord's holy word, if you're able to stand. And our scripture reading will go as follows. From the depths of despair, O Lord, I call for your help. Hear my cry, O Lord. Pay attention to my prayer. Lord, if you kept a record of our sins, who, O Lord, could ever survive? But you offer forgiveness that we might learn to fear you. I am counting on the Lord. Yes, I am counting on him. I have put my hope in his word. I long for the Lord more than centuries long for the dawn. Yes, more than centuries long for the dawn. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is unfailing love. His redemption overflows. He himself will redeem Israel from every kind of sin. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of his holy word. You may be seated. This morning, I know it's near what we call in the church, a lot of churches have harvest programs and harvest times. With a lot of it, a lot of times we are giving kids and young people candy or other sweet, what they call them, confections. And even for some of us big kids, we enjoy some chocolate too. We enjoy some Reese's peanut butter cups. We enjoy some baby Ruths, you know. It's Milky Ways. Mm-hmm. Snicker bars, you know, those too. All right, you know, Snickers, you got, yeah, there we go. But, you know, one thing about eating candy, once you eat it, that flavor, it fades away, goes away. Now, you're going to say, Reverend Bolden, how does candy tie into what you just read? Let's see. The title of this morning's message is going to be The Assurance That Will Last. Now, let this sink in. The assurance that will last. In our world today, people make a lot of promises that sometimes they don't live up to. People give assurances in many different types of ceremonies. In wedding ceremonies, you have a man and wife, the man and woman, they are gathered together in the sight of the Lord, and they're exchanging vows, giving assurances to each other, to love each other, cherish each other, till death do you part. And also, even in our government, we have people who, when they take office, they vow and put their hands on a Bible and give an oath to fulfill their office, to protect. But as we have seen the last 4 or 5 years, everyone who puts their hand on that Bible does not always intend to live up to what they said. But I want you guys to know that we all want security. And even when we've done wrong, we want security. Even when we have messed up, we want security. The security of being forgiven. The security of someone letting it go. And in turn, and I loved it, listening to Minister Jan, we have to let it go also. Now, with that, we have assurance from God. God is a loving God. God is a forgiving God. He is a God who will turn, if we want to go to him and we are truly, truly repentant, he will give us what we need. He will forgive us. So I just want us to think about this scripture this morning. And there are some, what I would call points or mini points. It will not be long, but I want you all to think about these different points. The first one is the effects of sin. The second one will be crying out to God. The third one will be trusting and hope. And the last one will be the bill has been paid. Amen. Now, let's first think about the effects of sin. Now, I can't speak for any of you because, as my wife will tell you, I'm not a mind reader. All right? Yeah, so some of y'all get that here. Not a mind reader. But we all have messed up a time or two in life. We all have had a point where we needed to go to God and ask God for forgiveness. Forgiveness for a thought. Yes, sir. Forgiveness for some words. Forgiveness for an action. Yes, sir. Now, if we don't confess the sin, that can have some tragic consequences for us. Unconfessed sin can lead you down a deep, dark road. And with some of the terminology in our reading, The one thing that stuck out to me was the word despair. Despair in itself can have a multiple layer of pain and torture. When you're in despair, you feel like there's no hope. When you're in despair, you feel like no one cares. When you're in despair, you may end up hurting people. You may end up hurting people with your words. You may end up hurting people with your actions. So that despair can be destructive. But one of the most painful to me, the most painful consequences or the effects of sin is separation from God. Separation from God. We don't want that. We don't want that. You don't want to be separated from God. Because I want to tell you, the enemy, and y'all know we do have an enemy out there. The enemy is not the human being that you may see who maybe said something to you in a wrong way. Or for me, the enemy that just hit your vehicle recently. That's not the enemy. We have an enemy, a spiritual enemy, who wants to keep us locked in sin, who wants to keep us in despair, who wants to keep us in that wrong mind. Because let me tell you, when you are locked in to despair, anger, sin, whatever it may be, that's the enemy pulling you away from your focus on God. That's the enemy trying to pull you from the one that can help you. That's the enemy getting you separated. So when you're going through something, go to God first. When you're going through something, even if it happens suddenly, take it to God. Give it to him. Let him deal with it. Even if someone says something to you that is way out of bounds. Now, our flesh, you know, this right here, our flesh wants to do what makes it feel good. And when I said the BC days, maybe in your BC days, you might have been one to lay hands on people and not in prayer. Not laying hands in prayer, but to quickly, you know, throw hands. But that's not the way. When we may be going through something, don't let sin take over. Don't let the enemy win. Don't let the enemy hit you in that moment where you say something. You're quick to say something. Married couples. Married couples. And this is when my former emeritus pastor who's passed on, he used to say, look straight ahead. Don't look to your right or left. Look straight ahead. When you may have a disagreement about something, think before you speak. Don't let it just roll out quick. Uh-oh, come on, y'all. Don't let it just roll out quick. Even if you feel like you are in the right, don't let it just come right out. Because let me tell you, that's not like a fishing rod and reel. Once you throw that out there, you can't like, oh, hold on, let me pull this back in. It's out there. So capture those thoughts before it even comes out. Amen. And I just want you all just to know, when we do mess up, we need to go in the right direction. We need to go to who can help us. This brings me to crying out. People, if I had a dollar for every time I've messed up, I could probably make Bill Gates look shame. So now, but here's the thing. I've learned that if I mess up, try to make it right. And the first thing I do is go to God and ask God to help. And sometimes you're gonna have to go to God in tears, because sometimes that battle within you is going to be so severe. Well, you have to go to God in tear and say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me with me. Yes. When I think about this, I think about Psalms 28, stanza 2, where the writer said, listen to my prayer for mercy as I cry out to you for help, as I lift my hands toward your holy sanctuary. Listen, we have not been truly perfected yet.
That's right.
So if we mess up, and notice I'm saying if, so this is not a green light to go tell somebody how you feel and just say, I'm laying down my religion. No. If you mess up, you better start looking up, praying up, crying up, asking the Lord to help you with you, help you right there. And I love David because in Psalms 51, stanza 10, I love how David made it so real. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right, loyal spirit within me. Brothers and sisters, we need to go to God with a sincere heart. If we have done wrong, go to him and sincerely say, Lord, I messed up. Lord, help me. Now, also, if we've offended someone, we should go to that person. But here's a little, and this is not so much of a secret. Sometimes when you ask people for forgiveness, they may or may not forgive you. But the point is that you do it. That you do it. And that you do it from a sincere heart. That your heart is right. That you are coming from the right place. And that you go to God and you let him know that you are truly sincere about it. One thing we shouldn't do is we should not be, I call it, wallowing in our despair. We should not be, oh man, I messed up. I just can't get it right. Just stop that. We should not just be continually laying and wallowing in that. And I'm using the expression wallowing because I know for those of you who know about farms, when you see pigs in mud, what are they doing? They're wallowing. They're rolling around in it. Don't roll around in the mess. Don't roll around in the mess. Shake the mess off. Give it to God. Give him that situation. Ask him to help you with you. Ask him to show you the right way. Now, also, brothers and sisters, when we talk about crying out, we want to cry out to God so that we will not fall into despair. Despair can feed anxiety. Anxiety can feed all types of disorders. Disorders can lead to disease. So, brothers and sisters, release it. Let it go. Let it go. Give it to God. Release it and let it go. And when we're releasing it, go to Philippians 4 and 6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. No matter what your issue may be, no matter what the situation may be, no matter if, even if someone has done you wrong, remember, it's the battle is not yours, it's the Lord. Let him fight it. Give it to him. You shouldn't try to seek, well, I'm going to get them back. Oh, I'm going to pay them back. You remember 10 years ago? No, let it go. Let it go. There have been families that transfer mess from one generation to another. You have cousins who don't want to speak to other cousins because something Big Mama told them about their mama. That's mess. Let the mess go. Let the mess go. Don't wallow in it. And when we think about this, when we think about telling God what's going on, what we need, when we're doing that, when we're crying out to him, yes, we should go to him with a sincere heart, but also, when I tell people to go to God in prayer, I also tell them why they should go to God in prayer. I tell them, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And when I'm talking to people, I make it personal. He gave his son for you. Make it personal. And God sent his son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world would be saved through him. So listen, as we go into that, what's coming up, the holiday season's coming up, just remember, we have a God who can take care of all situations. And I want to encourage someone who may be having a situation with a family member or a situation of something that had happened in the past. Let it go. Let it go. Because this is one thing that I've learned. We don't know when our time is going to be up. We were not born with a check-in and check-out sticker. So make it right while you can. Make it right with everyone. And also with that, I want to talk about trusting and hope in the Lord. Now, trusting and hope, that requires a lot. And when I say a lot, meaning you can pray about something, but that doesn't mean it's going to be answered right then, right now. The problem with our generation of people, we want everything quick. We want it fast. We want it to happen. But here's the thing. God's ways are not our ways. His timing is not our timing. He's on a different clock. And plus, also, think about this. And I used to, when I was in my 20s, I would want to be a millionaire. But I'm going to tell you something. God probably looked at me and said, Willie, I know you. $1 million, you're going to be a mess. So the answer is no. Okay? But you must trust and believe. You might say, well, it's easy for you to say, Reverend Bolden, that you can trust and believe. It's easy for you to say, you don't know my situation. You don't know my struggle. You don't know what drama I've been through. That's true. I may not know, but I know the one who can fix it. Yeah. I know the one you can take it to. Yes. I know the one who does know. And I know the one who brought me through. And if he brought me through, he can bring you through. So when you're talking to people, let them know God can bring you through the situation. You have to trust him. You have to give it all to him. And when we say give it all to him, don't give it to him and say, okay, Lord, I'm giving this to you, but I'm going to take this over here. I think I can work this plan over here. No, give it to him and let him work it out. And just also think about this. Mustard seed faith can accomplish a lot. Now, as small as a mustard seed is, that amount of faith can accomplish so much. So with that, I want us to think about this. Faith. Now, we all know Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the confidence that we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. That's the New Living Translation. So when we pray to God, trust him that he will work it out. Trust him and give it to him. Lean on him. Even if you have to cry and pray. When you are praying about a situation, here's something else. With trust and hope, trust and hope is also shown when we go to someone else, a fellow believer, who we can ask them to pray with us. Someone who can stand in the gap with us in prayer. Don't be on an island. Don't leave yourself on an island. Don't be out there and you're just, oh, I'm not gonna talk with anybody about this. I'm not gonna go to church. I'm gonna take a Sunday off. When you're doing that, you're working right into the enemy's plan. When you're doing that, you're walking right into that trap. Don't fall into that trap. Find someone to talk to pray with you. Find a trusted brother and sister to pray with you. Ask God to send you someone to help you in that situation. Because the enemy is real, and he will attack you. But I'm going to tell you, we know who wins. We know who has the victory. We know that God is victorious. And I'm going to tell you, when Brother Mike was talking about the gentleman talking about the excitement at the Spurs game, I'm going to tell you, there will be a place where there will be excitement that will make that look minuscule. And that's heaven. Think about it. All of us in here, if we could shout to the top of our lungs about what God has done for us, imagine what heaven's going to be like. Imagine what the worship of God is going to be like. Because think about it. This is the God who picked you up out of mess. This is the God who will supply your needs. This is the God, if you're hurting, he will be there. This is the God you can trust. This is the God, I heard Brother Mike mention this morning. This is the God, when you call him, you won't get an answer machine. This is the God, when you call him, he won't be looking at it, oh, I'll get to them in a minute. This is the God who loves you. He loves you and he is real. And we have to be real with him. And this is the God who wants us to be holy. Now, I said earlier, while we're in this flesh, things can be rough. That's true. But listen, we have the victory. We just need to trust God with it. Take it to him. And I just want to say this, if someone does not know Jesus, Jesus is at the door of your heart. He's at the door of your heart, knocking. Knocking. Now, he's not going to kick the door in. He's not going to do the battering ram. You have to open it from your side. Ask him to come in. Trust him with your situation. Give him everything. And here's the thing. God is faithful and just to forgive us. No matter what you may have done. No matter what kind of life you lived, God can forgive you. God can turn around people who were drug dealers on the streets, people who had shot people. God can turn them around and have them working for him. God can turn their life around where they're changing lives. God can change it if you had appetites that you should not have had. God can change that. God can change it. Give it to God, no matter what it may be. I don't know what your situation may be. I don't know what your hindrance may be, but God knows. Give it to him because he wants to help you. He's standing there. He wants to help you. And with my last point, the bill has been paid. Now, that right there should make all of us celebrate. The bill has been paid for us. Even when we were silly, some of us silly and young, thinking that we were doing everything we were big enough to do, Jesus paid the price for you. That price was paid for you. He paid the bill. Now, All we have to do is submit to him. Now, submit to him. Surrender to Jesus. Not only surrendering who you are, surrendering your situations. Surrender everything about you, your whole life. Give it to him. Because he paid it all for you. He paid it all for you in what he did. He didn't have to do it, but he did. And I think of the old Mississippi Mass Choir song, "It Wasn't the Nails That Held Jesus on the Cross." It wasn't. It wasn't the nails that held him on the cross. It wasn't the Roman army that held him on the cross. It wasn't the Jewish leaders who were doing their little behind the scenes to try to have him crucified that held him to the cross. It was him finishing the work of salvation for us. When he hung his head and gave up the ghost and said, "It is finished," he did it for us. When we get around Easter time, you know, the Easter celebration, we should not think about candy, eggs, and all those other things. Easter time should be victory. As a matter of fact, every day is victory. Every day that we're allowed to wake up this morning is victory. We have victory in Jesus. Victory with what he did for us. Victory so we can walk right. Victory so we can talk right. Victory so we can think right. Victory to show someone in this dying world that there is a way, that there is hope, no matter what's going on. No matter what's going on, no matter the hurt that you've been through, God knows. I've talked to and counseled many young people over the years, and one of the things that always stuck in the back of my mind was a little young man named Adante. Years ago, he shared with me that when he was small, he witnessed his father kill his mother. So when I say that, when God is using us in whatever capacity we're in, let people know that there is hope. I listened with this young man, I prayed with this young man, and there was a change in him. And I thank the Lord for that. But, and I'm saying this for this reason. No matter what you've been through, no matter what the struggle may be, and it may be an internal struggle, you may have a struggle with anger. Give it to God. Watch what God can do. God can change it. And with this, I want us to realize that that is the assurance that will last. We have the assurance that will last in Jesus. We have that promise. He will work it out for us. Right. He will fight the battles. Right. When we're facing medical situations, Terrell, give it to God. Watch him work it out. When we're facing problems with our families, give it to God. When we're facing problems on the job, give it to God. You may be going to work and they give you a pink slip. Give it to God. Because here's the thing. God is a provider. He closes one door, he can open another one. Give it to him. Give it to him. We have that assurance that he will bring us through. Give it to him. Give it to him. Give it all to him. Trust God in all that you do. And know that that assurance will last. I want you all to be blessed and give it all to God. Yeah. Amen. Amen.